time now for another edition of Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, a weekly program sponsored by the Clearfield County District Attorney. And we are so happy to welcome in once again a frequent guest on Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, and that is Scott Rendos. Scott is with the Community Guidance Center in DuBois, and we are so glad to, Scott, have you again with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, and thank you.
Yep, you're sure welcome. Scott, we're going to kind of talk about something today that if we were talking about it heading into the holiday season or the winter doldrums, as they say, it would be expected and common. But we're going to talk about depression. Some people say you're talking about depression during the summertime and during all the warm weather, but that's going to be the topic today. So, you know, Scott, summer is often seen as a very happy, carefree season. People are on vacations, they're going out to the parks, they're enjoying the swimming pool and all the spots. So why might some people actually feel more depressed during this time of year?
Some individuals may experience increased depression during the summer months due to, like, it's called summer onset seasonal affective disorder. It's less common, but the symptoms are trouble sleeping, poor appetite, weight loss, increased anxiety or irritability. This is kind of distinct from that winter months because there's reduced sunlight, additional factors like disruption in sleep patterns, climate anxiety, pressure to enjoy the summer can contribute and heighten anxiety and depressive symptoms during these warmer months.
Okay, so could you explain a little more about what that summertime sadness or seasonal affective disorder, the summer type, what it actually is and how it would be different from what we see with winter depression?
Summertime sadness or that seasonal affective disorder causes depression-like symptoms during the spring and summer months, often characterized by anxiety, agitation, insomnia, appetite changes like weight loss, in contrast to the winter onset, which typically involves like lethargy, oversleeping, increased appetite. While both are characterized by a recurrent seasonal pattern of depression, the specific symptoms and potential underlying causes, such as the impact of like being hot out, light exposure, differ. Summer sadness usually occurs in the late spring, early summer, and resolves in the fall and winter, while winter typically starts in fall and early winter and improves in the spring.
Okay.
We're going to see a lot of agitation, anxiety, insomnia in those summer months. So that's kind of those differences with those. Some of the things that contribute it are disruptions of routines, body image concerns, increase in the heat, humidity leading to kind of discomfort, poor sleep. We had a bout of extreme heat over the last couple of days, and
sure
that kind of disrupts a lot of people's sleep.
Okay.
And the potentially altering melatonin levels with the extended daylight hours kind of contribute to that.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, what about some of the people that we may see? It looks like they're having a good time, seem to be enjoying those summer activities. What are some signs that they may actually be underneath the surface struggling with depression?
Even when appearing to enjoy summer activities, individuals struggling with depression might exhibit subtle signs and changes in mood and behaviors. Even if not overtly sad or withdrawn, such as irritability, low energy despite activity, the sleep disturbances as we kind of talked about, difficulty concentrating, expressions of hopelessness or worthlessness that may be disguised by attempts or engaging socially. We see that kind of frustration and anger kind of be more prevalent. We might see though that as we talked about, that low energy fatigue, right? I just don't want to do anything. Yeah. And that we see that more and more as people withdraw. It's like, I don't have the energy to do any of these activities. It's too hot.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so that's just more and more withdrawn.
Sure.
Even the concentration was like, I can't concentrate. It's too hot out. I can't make a decision. We can't do these. Like, the further, even during activities, they might struggle to focus, pay attention, or make simple choices. Emotional numbness or of lack of interest. They might go through the motions of enjoying things without truly feeling joy or interest in what they're doing or expressing feelings of what's going on in their life. We might see some of those physical manifestations, body aches.
Sure.
Stomach aches, other physical issues that we sometimes don't associate with, like, some of our mood lability. Like, some of those physical attributes can significantly impact people's moods.
Mm. So let's take a little turn and explore this a little more. You know, during this summer, obviously, we have the longer days or more light. The days don't actually get longer than 24 hours, but we have more light. Mm. And disrupted routines are there as well during the summertime. So how does that impact one's mental health, especially those that we're talking about that are dealing with depression or even addiction recovery?
Longer days and disruptive routines can negatively impact mental health, especially for individuals with depression or those in addiction recovery, by increasing anxiety, disrupting sleep patterns, potentially triggers relapses, or makes a lot of symptoms worse due to lack of structure and purposeful activity. In regards to the anxiety, a lack of routine and structure can lead to heightened stress and anxiety. Like, what's happening next? When we're out of that routine, it's just like, what's next?
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah.
Makes it hard to kind of cope with the unknown. The disrupted sleep patterns, longer days and shifting schedules can kind of interfere with those sleep. Like, we always have that pressure to do more and more and more during the summer months, and some people aren't able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to kind of the relapse and addiction, there's that pressure to fit in or relax during the period, during the summer. Like, we have the 4th of July coming up. There's that pressure to enjoy it, celebrate it. Some people have those addiction problems where they're drinking or maybe using illicit substances, right?
Right.
We see the exacerbation of, like, the depressive symptoms. These are just increasing, like, I'm becoming more withdrawn, feeling isolated. That lack of connectedness that we kind of feel because our routines are disrupted. It's not what we know, that anxiety. Without kind of routines, individuals may find it hard to engage in activities and bring them a sense of purpose or accomplishment.
Mm.
Possibly like a loss of control and predictability. Like, humans are kind of those creatures of habit. And
sure.
Like, when we get out of our habits, like, we become disconnected with where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that kind of contribute to some of those depressive symptoms. Some things to address is, like, maintaining a structure, even with longer days. Strive to keep a consistent sleep schedule, meal times, engaging in activities, like, with structure and, like, predictability.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not all up and down and, like, I don't know what's happening next.
Okay.
So even kind of managing your boredom, like, actively plan and engage in activities to kind of stave off that boredom. A known trigger for relapse and addiction is, like, that boredom. What am I going to do? How am I going to alleviate this?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to alleviate my boredom and anxiety by using substances.
Sure.
Seeking support, connecting with support networks, therapists, or other groups for guidance and encouragement.
Yeah, great, great words of advice there. We're talking with Scott Rendos today from the Community Guidance Center on today's Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law, sponsored by the Clearfield County District Attorney. And we're undertaking the topic of depression. Yes, depression, even heading into summertime. It might seem a little puzzling to some, but it is a real issue. Hey, Scott, you know, sometimes the pressure can really be put on hard for people to be social, to be active, and to be happy, right? During yep. the summer. It's like, it's summer, why aren't you happy? But can that pressure actually make things worse for some people?
It can. The pressure to be social, active, and happy during the summer can actually make things worse for some people, potentially increasing their anxiety and depression. As we kind of talked about that summertime sadness, that's part of it. I mean, the pressure to be social. I mean, we have so much going on. The abundance of social activities around us in the Dubois and the surrounding region. Where do I do? What activities can I get to? Mm. You become a bit overwhelmed and kind of like people just throw up their hands as like, I can't do anything. There's too much going on.
Yeah.
Or they have that that fear of missing out. They're trying to jam-pack all these activities like one after the other after the other, and it kind of burns people out. Some of this is kind of fueled by that social media that you have to be this way. You have to be engaged in all these activities.
Yeah.
You kind of don't have to be anything. Mm-hmm. It's what you enjoy. Even the pressure to be kind of active, the focus on outdoor activities, maintaining a quote-unquote summer body. They can exacerbate like the body image issues yeah. and the insecurities about physical appearance that people go through.
Be quite a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Even the pressure to be happy. I mean, the cultural expectation is that summer should be a time for fun and relaxation. And that can overwhelm some individuals who are not feeling that way. They experience those feelings of disappointment, decrease self-esteem, and what they kind of believe in themselves.
Sure.
In the day and age we live now, we have a lot of that social media comparisons. I have to be like everyone else. Look what everyone else is doing. And when you're comparing yourself to other people, like, you begin to get disappointed. Like, why can't I be like this? And people get down on themselves even during these good times.
Right. Exactly. So how do we cope with that? What are some of the practical steps that someone can take to manage this onset of depression during the summer months?
Some of it is prioritizing self-care and setting boundaries. It's important to recognize when you need time to recharge and say no to social engagements if necessary. Mindful social media use. That's kind of hard these days.
Yeah.
Limiting like screen time and curating your feed to avoid like triggers or content that can help reduce that, like, oh, I have to be like everyone else, and that comparison. Focusing on realistic goals and activities, engaging in those activities that are genuinely bring you joy, and setting achievable goals for the summer rather than trying to replicate what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Seeking support when you need it. Like, that might be that mental health therapist. It might be friends, family. Letting them know, like, kind of like what's going on. I mean, and I know, like, with the kids out of school, like, maintaining healthy routines, mm-hmm. like those consistent sleep patterns and daily routines can kind of help regulate that mood and anxiety. Acknowledging the pressures and kind of implementing healthy coping mechanisms to better navigate what's going on.
Yeah, makes sense. Now, are there any kind of specific activities or specific types of routines that you would recommend, Scott, to stay grounded and mentally well during the summer months?
It depends on the person, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, some people like embrace the outdoors as like, this can be a crucial element in their life, is going outside in the outdoors and enjoying it. You got walking, hiking, biking. You can also do practicing like grounding techniques, like walking outside and go to in this grass or the sand, mm-hmm. right? Gardening to kind of connect with and get away from people. Then we can also do like prioritizing like self-care and well-being, that consistent sleep schedules we spoke about, those routines, right? Reducing a lot of those negative influences that can reduce our overall quality of life, not comparing ourselves on social media or with our neighbors, kind of only comparing yourself to yourself, setting healthy boundaries with people, not feeling obligated. Oh, I have to go to this place. You don't have to do anything. But making sure that you're taking care of your own needs. I was like, I know with the recent heat wave, staying hydrated and eating, right?
Yeah, right. Like, sure.
When we're kind of neglecting ourselves, like, that's some of the things that contribute to that depression. We talked about those connecting with others. I was like, spending that quality time with loved ones, planning outdoor activities. Maybe it might be a picnic that you want to go do.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets to that point, maybe then seeking out that professional help. That might be kind of like as a way that you can kind of figure some things out on your own and with those professionals or with that support group, whatever that may be. You also might set realistic expectations of what, like, hey, what am I able to accomplish during the summer?
Yeah.
What can I get done? What would I like to do? What would I like to achieve? And setting those of like, oh, this is where I'm at. This is where I want to be. So that's where, like, kind of some ways to manage what's going on in your life.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned in there about sleep and hydration. Hydration is always emphasized as being very important. Let's kind of talk about that a little more thoroughly. How important is, like, sleep, hydration, physical activity? Here we're talking about all the physical aspects and mm-hmm. in managing mental health, especially. And again, we're emphasizing the summertime.
Yeah. Adequate sleep is essential for like brain function, including like memory. And that's how we're kind of consolidating a lot of things. When we're not sleeping, lack of sleep can worsen moods. We become irritable. I'm tired. You become snappy at people. You lash out at people. You're like, I just, because I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of compounds over time. If we're not sleeping for days and weeks because it's either too hot or we're just uncomfortable, that has a negative impact on people. That kind of hydration, as we kind of talked about, it's so we're not becoming dehydrated, and so we're our body can kind of regulate what's going on, supporting the kind of clear thinking, right? So we can kind of focus, and like a lot of people, like, oh, like sometimes they overeat, right? Mm-hmm. It might not be because they are hungry, it might be because they're thirsty, it might be dehydrated.
Oh, yeah, very true.
Even physical activity, whatever that may be for anyone, like exercising reduces like symptoms of depression and anxiety. Kind of like it's that natural mood stabilizer. Exercise might just be a walk down the street.
Yeah.
Right? It might be like, oh, I'm going to walk for 20 minutes, or I was like, I'm going to go ride my bike, right? Walking your dogs. Those can really help regulate what's going on in people's lives.
Well, Scott, we're heading into our final 4 minutes together here on this Wednesday morning and on this edition of Addiction, Mental Health, and the Law. It's been very fascinating talking about this. Let's specifically here, before we give some contact information, let's talk about people that are in recovery from addiction and what are some of the unique challenges they may face in summer and how they can protect themselves in their mental health.
Some of the triggers people might have is like those social events. Summers often involve social gatherings, parties, festivals, where alcohol and drugs are present. These are increasing the temptation to use. Certain substances like alcohol are commonly associated with summertime activities and can make it more challenging for individuals in recovery to avoid those temptations.
Mm-hmm.
The body image pressure to have a perfect body during the summer can lead to that low self-esteem and kind of triggering, like, oh, I feel bad about myself. Let me drink. Let me do some drugs. And then that alleviates some of their symptoms, and that's kind of putting them further and further behind. Changes in the routine, that kind of disrupts a lot of things. Summer vacations, children being out of school can disrupt those routines, leading to boredom, increasing risk of possible relapse. Idle time and a lack of structure can become a trigger for substance use as well. Then we have those mental health challenges. We talked about that depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And the anxiety, that those overwhelming feelings, like, I have to be like that. I have to do all these things, but you don't. I'm always looking at how are we going to plan to protect yourself? Like, how are we going to prevent some of these things?
Sure.
Identifying those triggers and we can figure out some strategies to manage what's going on in our life, so we're not leading back to the same old relapse, going back to the drugs, the alcohol, which are tearing people apart.
Absolutely. Scott, in our final couple of minutes that we have remaining, I think it would be good if you could share, what are the red flags that say someone should reach out for professional help, and then tell us about what services the Community Guidance Center offers to help out with those who may be dealing with depression, especially as we move through the summertime here.
Some of those red flags, you begin to see people become withdrawn, as like they're not engaging in the activities they normally do. If they're not taking care of their physical health, if you could see them kind of deteriorating, not bathing, not brushing their teeth, like not leaving their house, those can be some of the contributing factors which would lead to a more depressive state. And like that might be when it gets so bad that at times, like, they see that thoughts of suicide and ending their life because of the social pressures and because of all the depression, like, that's a concern.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are times that, like, hey, we got to reach out. We have to do something about this rather than just kind of turning a blind eye to it.
Yeah. And so how do they reach out to the Community Guidance Center?
They can call us at our office in Dubois. That is 814-371-1100. Or any of our other offices. We have offices in Punxsie. We have offices in Clearfield, Northern Cambria, Indiana. There's help out there if people would like it.
Okay. Scott, it's been a really great conversation. Very interesting this morning. Scott Rendos from the Community Guidance Center with us today on addiction, mental health, and the law, presented by the Clearfield County District Attorney. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.